This is Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study we started yesterday, and it was on the patriarchs and how they wrote back then. How they hired people out to write and document and take things down as history. Sometime before the 5th century B.C., people begin developing a new writing material, parchment, as thin and light-colored as papyrus, but as durable as tanned leather. Parchment is a finely processed animal skin. Its name derives from Pergamum, an ancient city near the western coast of present-day Turkey, which became its chief center of manufacture. By the 2nd century B.C., parchment was in widespread use, and it was in time it replaced the old papyrus altogether, although parchment could be made of virtually any skin, including goat, deer, rabbit, squirrel. The finest parchment, known as vellum, was made of calf skin, more flexible than papyrus, and more easily folded parchment would allow for the eventual scribble transition from writing on scrolls and writing in books. They started out with the flayed skin of an animal, such as a calf, goat, or sheep, and then washed it, and then they soaked it in a vat of clean water for about 24 hours to loosen the hair and the hide. The skin is then placed in a vat containing a solution of lime and water for 8 or 16 days, depending on the air temperature, and stirred several times a day with a wooden paddle or pole. The slippery skins are taken out of the vat and draped hair side over the angle beam or log, and then parchment makes stands behind the high end of the beam and scrapes downward, pushing the hair of the skin with a blunt edge of a curved two-handled knife. Now, this service is called the grain side of the parchment. The skin is turned over, and on any residue of flesh is removed, the underside, then the skin is soaked in fresh water for 2 days to remove the lime. It's stretched over with cords into a wooden frame fitted with adjustable pegs. The pegs turn to pull the skin tight to avoid cutting slits into the skin, which would expand into the holes. As the skin tightens and dries, small pebbles are folded into the edge of the skin to form knobs that are used to help in attaching the skin. Now, it was a very complex situation to make this. The events that had to be gone through and everything. So we're going to leave it at that. Now, the Babylonian captivity, which Jeremiah had prophesied, is they were a symbol of strength, and the lion actually was a symbol of strength. It was used in numerous places to adorn the walls, and under Nebuchadnezzar II, actually, Babylonia reached the height of its power in the 6th century B.C. Now, from 605 through the last 18 years of its existence, as a kingdom. Judah was a vassal state of a mighty empire of Babylonia. King Jehoiakim endured that situation for 3 years before rebelling. Babylonia's King Nebuchadnezzar bided his time before taking punitive action against Jehoiakim, and by the time he launched his attack, Jehoiakim had died. Babylonia's subsequent siege of Jerusalem led to the deportation of the political and the religious elite, including King Jehoiachin. Jehoiakim's son and successor, who was taken into exile in Babylonia in 596 BC. When Jerusalem once more rebelled, Nebuchadnezzar attacked again in 586. And this time the effect was devastating, just like Jeremiah had prophesied for 40 years, actually. And the temple was burned to the ground, and Jerusalem was completely destroyed, as were many surrounding towns. One of the last holdouts against the onslaught was the town of Lachish. In the 1930s, 21 pottery shards inscribed with fragments of background material from that period were excavated in Lachish. Many Israelites were exiled following the conquest, although the actual numbers are not known. In fact, the Bible reveals few details about the exile, which did not end until Cyrus of Persia, which was prophesied by Isaiah that he would do this, conquered Babylon in 539 BC. However, it was is thought that the exiles were treated well and could function relatively freely in their own communities wherever they settled in Babylonia. Without the temple, the Israelites could not worship as they had, although many of them worshipped idols anyway. And yet the years of the exile were immensely important to the development of their faith. Very likely it was time when many biblical texts were collected and put into written form and edited. The words of the prophets whose pre-exilic warnings had proven true are believed to have been written down during this period, as were the books that tell of Israel's history from Joshua to 2 Kings. The Psalms were probably collected at this time as well, and the Book of Lamentations were compiled as a description of the destruction of Jerusalem and the fall of the temple. Similarly, the much of the final framing of the Pentateuch is thought to have been carried out during or shortly after the Babylonian conquest. The points of view of the exiles are reflected in some of the major themes of its five books. For example, the Pentateuch emphasizes God's fidelity to his covenant with the Israelites, a serious concern of the exiles, since they wanted to believe that God would take them back and their covenant with them would be preserved. Similarly, in the book of Deuteronomy, the followers of Moses are poised just outside the promised land when they learn why they are being given the land and what they must do to retain it. In this way, they are shown that Israel's relationship with God began outside the boundaries of the country. Another important concern of people who needed to see their God as a universal God who was with them outside the temple and the land. The focus on the writings allowed the Israelites to retain their faith, recognize the laws that they must live by, and learn the lessons their history taught, their written records would remain central to their community and faith when they returned to Jerusalem and rebuilt the temple. This was a time when I'm sure that they rehearsed the words of the prophet Jeremiah. He told them over and over and over again to repent and quit following false gods. And they wouldn't. They just simply would not repent for anything. Love or money, they wouldn't do it. And this is a time when I'm sure that they thought, oh, you know what, we should listen to the prophet. There's going to come a time when people will say the same thing. Oh, you know what, we should have listened to the prophet. We should have listened to the prophet. And why they didn't, nobody knows. They waited and waited and waited, and Jeremiah said, this is going to turn into an absolute graveyard. And it did. And they would not take it to heart. Why would they do such a thing? It's unbelievable how people will not listen as long as everything's going the same. And nothing is modified or interrupted or, long as nothing seems to be the God of heaven working within us. You know, he's very slow to anger, but he angers. And he's very slow to impute his judgment, but he does. And this went on and on and on. And the negative things that Jeremiah had to explain that what was going to happen just made these people mad. And they tried to kill him. They tried to murder Jeremiah. They just hated his guts. They would not listen to him for nothing. And they continued down the road of worshiping false gods. Continued. They would not, absolutely would not repent. They had to do their own thing. And, you know, you think that Israel's always been good and they've always been great. This is a time when they really backslid. And they did the opposite of what God wanted them. And it's no wonder that Jeremiah had to prophesy for 40 years. And they never got the message. They would not listen to Jeremiah. And then it all happened. It all happened. Like clockwork, exactly the way the prophet said. It all happened exactly the way that Jeremiah had prophesied. And then, you think that they might have repented? I'm sure that they probably thought, oh my, we hated Jeremiah, we tried to kill him. But you know, everything he said is right. Everything he said is true. Why didn't we listen to him? Why didn't we listen? He was right. He was right in everything he said. God warned us over and over and over again, but we would not hear him. And Jeremiah did this for 40 years. All they had to do was listen one of those 40 years. All they had to do was just say, you know, it's time to repent. One of the 40 years, this went on, and they didn't. You know, can you imagine a people that just would not hear God? We're living in that time, folks. We're living in that time. Nobody wants to hear what the prophet says because it might be negative, and it is. A lot of negative stuff in the book of the Revelation, you know that? But it's true. It's going to happen. We better listen. We better hear what God is about to perform. Well, that's our time for today, folks. Go to our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. Call us at 928-368-6766. Leave a message. Write to us, KRCI Radio Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, as Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved.